All right, 1 Timothy chapter number 2, the verse I want to focus on is verse number 14. Please take a look at it. It says this, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. And the title of my sermon is this, being deceived. Three things that are trying to deceive you. Being deceived. Three things that are trying to deceive you. And that phrase, being deceived, is found twice in the Bible, right there in 1 Timothy 2:14, and the other one is in 2 Timothy 3:13, that says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Obviously, the first one is talking about Eve being deceived. The second one is these seducers, these evil men, they're going around deceiving people, and at the same time, they're being deceived because they're reaping what they sow. If you have your Bible, go ahead and go to Genesis chapter number 3, and so I just want to start out by giving a simple definition of the word deceived. The word deceived simply means this, to make someone believe something that is false. To make someone believe something that is false. So tonight I want to talk about three things. There's a lot more than three, but I'm just going to cover three things really quickly. And I'll mention a couple of things at the end, some honorable mentions. You know, but for right now, let's start with the first thing I want to talk about, and that is the devil. The devil. Now, a lot of people these days, I'm not talking about you guys, but unsaved people, I notice when I knock on the door, you know, they believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. They believe he resurrected. You know, they may even believe in hell. But sometimes I ask, do you believe in the devil? The reason I ask that is because I do use a verse that talks about the devil and his angels being cast into everlasting fire. And I'm surprised that a lot of people say, no, I don't really believe in the devil. I'm not sure if they think it's cool to say I don't believe in the devil, like they're not scared of the devil, whatever the reason it may be. But bottom line, the devil is real. And if you're going to be a somebody in the Christian world, i.e. somebody that's going to do a lot of work for the Lord, you can basically take it to the bank that the devil, I believe him personally, may come after you. Now, I'm not saying he's going to go after every single person, but I believe if you're doing big works for the Lord, you're going to do something big for him, and he knows it, he will probably personally come to you and try to get you to fall, like we see right here in Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3, it says this. Verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent, which of course is the devil, said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. So what is the first thing that we see here? And this is kind of like the devil's first, I guess you can say, act of evilness, is him deceiving. That's why he is the deceiver. But he starts out by making Eve doubt what God said. And if the devil ever personally comes after you and tries to get you to fall, you can take it to the bank. He's going to try the same thing. He's going to try to get you to doubt what God said. And that's how he'll start. He'll first start by getting you to doubt God's word. Then he'll finish up by flat out lying to you. Let's just keep looking. It says, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Is that what God said? Absolutely not. God said, ye shall surely die. For God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Lie after lie after lie. But the first thing he's doing is trying to see how dumb you are. So he's going after those that he knows are dumb. Let me see how dumb this person is. Did God really say this about the homos? Did God really say this about stealing? Did God really say this about tithing? Did God really say this about soul winning? If you're like, I don't know. Oh, this guy is dumb. I'm going to hit him with some lies. And I don't want anybody here to fall for the lies of the devil, but that's how he does business. He's like a roaring lion. Now, I don't know much about lions, but one thing I know about lions from watching all these videos is they tend to go after the weak ones. So do yourself a favor and don't be that weak one. Read, memorize, serve. Don't be the weak one. Exercise your faith. You have faith, you're safe. Exercise it. Make it stronger every single day. Every single day. Don't be that weak one because you will be tore up. And if you think, surely this will never happen coming to Faithful Word, I mean, we get the best preaching on the planet. But let's be honest, if you've been here long enough, you've seen many, many, many Christians fall. Way too many. I mean, what did we lose in our last battle? 95? Men, women, and children? That's 95 too many. But I can guarantee you that there were the ones that were the weak Christians. They were the weak ones. They were the ones that were not Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, or they had a bigger problem, and the problem was pride. They thought they were better than they really were. But let me just remind you of the devil. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." And what does it say? "And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression." Once again, why didn't he go after Adam? People believe because he was the stronger of them both. Because God was directly talking to him, giving him the orders, and he was passing them on. So if anybody knew what God actually said, it was probably Adam, because Eve got a second hand. So of course, what do you think is going to happen to you if you become weak? If you start to forget those things that God has taught you, you're probably going to be on the target list. And I believe Faithful Word Baptist Church is on Satan's target list. I just believe that. And not just that, I believe some people here that are showing good signs of doing something big for God, I'm guaranteeing you that the devil's thinking of taking you down. Maybe not himself personally, but he'll send his minions, or he'll do it himself if he has to. And if you wonder, where do you get this belief? Where do you get this belief that he'll actually go after individuals? Well, I see it in Scripture. And what we should be doing instead of what Eve did, because Eve, what she started to do, was started to believe the lies of the devil. Eve should have just double-checked. "Hey, you know what? Hey, Adam, I don't know, but today this snake kind of visited me. I don't know if this snake has ever visited you before. He started telling me these things. And one of the things that he said was that if we eat of the fruit of the tree that God told us not to, then we're not really going to die. Is that true?" Don't you think that's what she should have done? Is double-check? Just to be safe? I mean, I don't know. I think it was just Adam and Eve at that time. I mean, who else? I mean, what was Adam doing? Hanging out with the dinosaurs? I would have been doing that too. I mean, "Hey, babe, I love you, but I want to go jump on that T-Rex real quick. That Brontosaurus. Hey, that Velociraptor looks pretty fast. Hey, I don't know, but I'm going to jump on that sucker." I guess that's our modern day, what do you call them, the rice rockets? Is that what they call them? Hopefully I'm not messing it up, you know? That's what they did back in the day. "Look how fast this animal's going. Oh, I got to jump on that. I got to try that out, Eve. I'll be back." And then Satan's like, "Okay, well, you're riding your raptor motorcycle. I'm going to go try to deceive Eve." So, of course, she should have double-checked with her husband. Like, "Yo, what did God really say? This guy says if we eat it, we're actually going to become gods and know good and evil." No. That's not what God said. This is what God actually said, because that's just a smart thing to do. For example, Acts 17:11 says this, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scripture daily whether those things were so." And that should be our first action when we hear something or we see something that we're not sure if it's biblical or not. We should be running to the word of God to figure it out. Amen? Or do yourself a favor. Hey, if you're married, ask your husband. If you don't know, then you know what, husband, ask your friends. And if the friends don't know, then come ask me. I might know. But hey, do yourself a favor and go to ChatGPT first, amen? Once you can't figure it out, you come to me. Hey, be careful with ChatGPT. It's like 90% accurate, but that 10% can destroy your life. Just giving you the heads up on it. ChatGPT was not created to help Christians grow. It just was not. So don't trust it like Eve trusts the devil, or you're going to find yourself in a world of hurt. But when it comes to God's word, we should be reading it every day. We should be making sure we hear it as much as possible. We should be hearing preaching, because that's what's helping us grow. Why? So that the devil doesn't see us as weak and the devil doesn't take us down. Because I don't know about you, but I do not want to be taken down. And every time I think of the devil and I come across this verse, it reminds me, man, this is serious. You know, I need to remind myself of this. For example, Luke 22:31. Luke 22:31, you don't have to go there. I'll send you somewhere else. Let me see what my page 2 has for me. If you got your Bibles, just go to Matthew 4. Go to Matthew 4 as I read from Luke 22:31. Hopefully everybody can hear me here tonight. It says, "And the Lord said unto Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you." I wonder why. I wonder why Satan wanted Simon, wanted Peter, because he knew what Peter could do. And it said, "He has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou converted, strengthen thy brethren." And he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee both in prison and to death." And boy, was he hyping himself up. Because we know the story, that did not happen. He lied, he betrayed Jesus. He turned out to be weaker than he thought. So we need to be careful not to have this attitude. "Oh, of course the devil wants me. He knows how good I am." And watch me, Lord. I'm ready to go to death for you. I'm ready to get locked up for 10 days straight. And if I die, then I die. I'm ready for the crown of life. Well, you know what? That may be you and you may be real, but you better keep it up. You better keep up your Bible reading. You better keep up whatever's building your faith, because the last thing we need is for you to get scared of a little girl trying to snitch you out. And if you don't know the story, read the story, you'll figure it out. But it says clearly that Satan goes after people. Here Jesus saying, hey, Satan wants you. He wants to sift you. He wants to destroy you, Peter. So, hey, prepare yourself. Get yourself ready. Instead of just like, hey, I'm ready for the devil. I'm even ready for prison. But yeah, when a little girl's like, hey, wasn't that your friend? No, I don't even know the guy. And we'll talk about we Christians at the end. But here's another example where Satan is going after people. People that are doing big things for God. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1 says this, and Satan stood against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. I don't know exactly what the devil did, but he was trying to get David to sin, and he did. Here the devil is saying, I'm going to go after David. He goes after David, provokes him, gives him the number Israel, because at this point, David, he was probably just wondering, do I even have a big enough army to be able to fight my enemies and my enemies attack? Instead of by faith realizing, man, I've killed giants. Hey, I've taken on units that are way bigger than me. The Lord has given us many victories. I have no reason to doubt that if he did in the past, he's not going to do it again. As long as we stay right with him, we shall be okay. But here it says that Satan is the one that provoked David to number the people, and it didn't go well. He numbered the people. He sinned against the Lord. He even told God later, hey, I sinned a great sin. Whatever the reason, you know, we don't have an excuse to sin. We have to be always trying to keep ourselves from sin, and there's many ways to do it, but I just want you guys to clearly see that you do have an adversary. That adversary is the devil. He went after Eve. He wanted Peter, and here he went after years after Eve. He goes after David and gets David to number the people and sin against God. And this devil is so cocky that the guy even tries to go after Christ. You're right there in Matthew 4. Let's just take a look at this few scriptures here, the temptation of Christ, which always just blows my mind. Just how he's just trying and trying and trying until finally he just gives up. And that's how it should be with us. We should just continue to fight the devil back. Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. Here's a perfect example of that. It says in Matthew 4:1, then was Jesus led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, notice he didn't come to him before he started fasting. He came to him after he was done fasting, 40 days and 40 nights. I wonder why. Because the devil wants the highest chance of success if he does come after you, and he's going to come after you once again when he sees you're weak. When he sees that you're weak, that's what he's looking for, the weak Christians. So Christians, keep yourself from becoming that weak individual, because I don't know how long before the devil sends his minions or the other groups that are trying to deceive you to ultimately do what? The deception is ultimately for the destruction. If I can get God's people to be deceived, to believe lies, to believe dangerous things, I know I'll take them down. One by one, they'll start going down. But it clearly shows that he came after him after he was done fasting 40 days and 40 nights. And when he did come to him, I'm in verse number 3 in case you're wondering, he said, if thou be the Son of God, there he goes once again. Good old tricks, the good old tricks of the devil. What is he trying to do? Cast doubt. Cast doubt. If thou be the Son of God, sounds familiar? Yea, did God say? Did he really say this? And I don't know about you, but I believe that the devil can still possess people. I don't know about you, but I believe that not everyone that's at Faithful Word Baptist Church is saved. I'm not saying that I know exactly who it is. I'm not even going to begin to waste my time trying to figure it out, because quite frankly, I don't think we need to waste time. God knows who they are, and God will protect you if you're right with him. So you have nothing to fear but fear himself. And like Jesus says, don't fear him but can kill the body and can do no more. Rather fear him that was able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And who is that person? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that we should be afraid of. But at the same time, I want to remind you tonight that there are things that we need to take serious, and we need to not forget these things. These individuals, these things that are out to deceive you. But as you can see right there, he's starting by casting doubt, trying to get the Son of God to doubt. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So right there, just to really get to it, how did he defeat the devil with this temptation? Using the word of God. So hopefully every single day you're doing something to prepare yourself for a future attack. One of the best things you can do to prepare yourself for a future attack by the devil or his angels or his minions or his children is to start memorizing scripture. I'm sure I brought it up a million times. Where's my daughter Georgiana? Is she in here? Like I said, I suck at being a sniper. All right, she's back there. Did mom get you that little jar with all the verses? All right, so we're kind of doing something right with this girl, amen? So she had her birthday on, oh man, I'm going to look so bad, Monday, right? Monday was her birthday, and Monday you turned 10 years old, right? All right, happy birthday. No, I'm just kidding. But you know what? My wife got her something that I believe if she memorizes all these verses, and I think it's less than 100, maybe 50, but these verses are specifically to help you with certain things, like anxiety. What else is in that jar? Sadness, fear, right? No? Okay, well, we'll work on fear. You need to get some verses to help you overcome fear, okay? But it's just smart because it helps you to overcome when you know exactly what the Bible says and not wondering about it. I'm sure she's not the only one that's getting, you know, verses recommended. I saw a text, I believe it was from Becca. Becca, I believe, sent my son a text, and it's not that I'm spying on Becca or anything, except that my son uses an iPhone. The iPhone's connected to my computer. In case, Becca, you don't know, okay? So when she sends a message to my son, it goes on my computer. Sagan knows about it, right? It's not a secret. You know, his boss is texting him, yo, can you work? And he's like, yeah, I could work. And sure enough, I'm like, what the heck is this? I didn't even know that was possible. But Sagan has my phone. It has my Apple ID. So Becca says, yo, I don't know if this will help you. Or was it you sending it to Becca or Becca sending it to you? Becca sending it to you because Becca's trying to help my son. She's like, hey, I don't know if this will help you, but I got these verses that help me out. And she sends him a list of verses. I mean, if you're going to text something as teenagers, that's what I'm talking about. Amen. Trying to help someone to be a better person, that's what's up. That's the kind of friends you need. Amen. So she's texting him, hey, I got these, you know, verses that I use, that I want to memorize, that I go to whenever I'm going through. I'm not trying to dime her out. I'm not saying she's suffering from depression, but I think one on the list was sadness, you know, anger, whatever the case. And why? Because she knows that scripture has power. She understands that, you know what, this can snap me out of it. You know what, it's not just memorizing scripture, it's also being right with God, it's also being filled with the Spirit, it's also praying. Those things will keep you from temptation. But she's doing exactly what Jesus did right here. She's using certain verses to counter certain temptations from the devil. And if we're smart, we will be doing the exact same thing as much as humanly possible. Amen? So let's continue. I don't think I need to, but you guys get the point. But let's just read. It's an awesome story. It's the temptation of Christ. It says, but the answer is said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taken him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, there he goes again. Are you really the Son of God? Are you sure, Jesus? I'm just asking for a friend. Cast thyself down, is what the devil says. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And that is true. That is in scripture. But he knew the devil was messing with him. He knew what the devil was up to. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taking him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, and thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then say Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him, trying to take out the Son of God. He's like, hey, I took Eve out. Hey, I took David out. Let me try my luck with the Son of God. Well, it didn't work. Why? Because he was who he was, the Son of God, but he used scripture, God's word, which is powerful, but the same way that it helped Jesus, it can also help you guys as well. So let's just remember how the devil does business. And like I said, I don't think the devil's going to personally come after every single one of you guys. But last time I checked, the devil, hey, he went into Judas, true? And we've had our Judases throughout the years. And I can't help but wonder, did the devil ever possess this person or this person or this person? I'm not going to get up here and say that I know for sure, but hey, I wouldn't be surprised. And I don't think I've ever, Pastor Anderson has, but I don't think I've ever met a devil-possessed person. Except maybe a couple days ago when David, our local homeless guy, who knows who he is? The tall black guy walks around like he's Darth Vader sometimes with a blanket over his head. Well, I mean, a couple of days ago, I come to work, and he's in the back door, blocking the back door. And I'm like, oh, come on. He knows he's not supposed to be around here. He's already trespassed. So I roll down my window, and I'm like, David, bro, you know you can't be here, bro. I already trespassed you. And he's hunched over, and he looks at me like, ah. I'm like, oh, hell no. I'm going in the front. There's no way I'm going to mess with this man right now. I don't know if he was devil-possessed. He was definitely on drugs because he had the lighters on the floor. He had the tinfoil on the floor. And I'm like, dang, bro, I was trying to give you the benefit of the doubt. You're just crazy, not a drug addict. But unfortunately, he's both. So please do not give this man any money. He will use it for fentanyl, defetti, whatever you want to call it. Hey, I don't know, water if he's dying, 911 if he passes out. But at the same time, hey, this guy is not somebody that you want to mess with. He is built like a boxer. Who knows how much damage he can do to you? He's under drugs, and when you're under drugs, hey, you got more strength than you usually do. But I don't know if he was devil-possessed, but he sure as heck looked like he was, so I'm out. I'm not about to find out the hard way by him throwing me around like these legion devils in the Bible. I'm out. Hey, I foresee the evil, and I ran. Well, I drove away, but I drove away fast, but not too fast where I broke the speed limit, all right? Hopefully the manager doesn't have cameras in here. But you see how the devil works. Gets you to doubt his word. Wants to see how dumb you are. Well, let me say something, see if these people fall for it. Yo, hey, man, I believe this, I believe that. What do you think? Yeah, I don't know. I see where you're coming from. Oh, this person is stupid. Now I'm going to just tell him some straight-up lies. That's how the devil works. Kind of insulting, right? But that's facts. Let me see if I can get him to doubt. If I can, then he's a dummy, and I'm going to start spreading some lies. But that's what we need to understand about the devil. It says in 2 Corinthians, if you have your Bible, go to Mark 7. Go to Mark 7. If you have your Bible, the Bible says this, to whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. If I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes, forgive I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. What do I mean by devices? I believe it just simply means tricks. Tricks. The devil has his tricks to get you to believe lies. Let's play a little game. You don't have to, but hey, it'd be cool if you kind of participate. But if you have the guts to raise your hand and tell me, what are one of the tricks you think the devil uses to spread his lies? Or what are one of the tools or tricks that he uses? Who wants to go first?
The internet.
The internet has a ton of lies. Anybody else?
Women.
Women can also be used by Satan. Hair pressure, friends, right? We'll talk about those at the end. Matt, you raised your hand. Did he take your answer?
TV.
Movies. Music. All those are his devices. Those are his ways of tricking people into believing lies. Because let's just face it, if I was the devil, I'd be using everything I could to get people to be damned. If I'm going to hell, I'm taking as many people to hell with me. And the devil, for sure, everlasting fire is prepared for him and his angels. So let's not forget that there are tricks. There are tricks out there that the devil's using. There are devices that the devil's using. And if you're going to let your kids watch anything, hey, do yourself a favor and watch it with them. Then you can kind of pick out the lies. You get emails once in a while. Hey, what do you guys do for entertainment? You know, do you let your kids watch movies? Well, yes, but I'm not going to let them watch a rated R movie. I'm not going to let them watch something that I know is bad. I'm not going to let them watch something that's insanely bad. And right now, people are deceived as to what good and bad is. And I don't want to mention this movie because I only came across it because people are talking about it. But it's a very, very bad movie. It is incredibly bad. On a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 10. And you would think that this thing would be hard for children to find, but it was just on Rumble. I'm uploading Rumble videos. I'm just doing short clips on Pastor Anderson. And this movie comes up. Oh, this movie, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what the heck? But then there were other people that were like, no, it's a horrible movie. I watched it so you don't have to. And it was filled with a bunch of filth. But that's just how the devil works. Movies, TV shows. You better sit down and figure out what your kids are watching. Even video games. Right, Steven? Right? I'm thinking they're playing an innocent game, Fortnite. These kids love Fortnite. Let me know if you know what Fortnite is. What? Not many people? Well, I don't know what was going on, but I'm there trying to type on my sermon, and these kids are playing Fortnite. It's like some little battle games, like I guess kind of like these military battle games, but it's like, I don't know, it's I don't know, it just looks like it's a little watered down. So I look over, and all I see is some character, and it's Chonas. I'm like, what is this? I'm like, Stephen, what are you looking at? Some dude in his Chonas? What is that? And they're like, no, Dad, it's not Chonas, it's Speedos. Oh, well, that makes it a lot better. Because I get these video games, they make you like arm up your players. And why they got to put them in Speedos? You know, it's like, you want body armor? Bam. You want big guns? Bam. You want big boots? Bam. You want big uniform? Bam. A helmet? Bam. But they start out in their freaking Speedos. And if you don't know what a Speedo is, don't Google it, all right? Stay ignorant. Stay ignorant of this device. But I think that's just a little gateway to worse stuff. I'm thinking, okay, they're putting these dudes in Speedos. What are the female characters being put in? Two pieces? Don't even tell me. We'll talk about Fortnite later. We'll get to the bottom of that. But you see the devices the devil is using to get to your kids? Because some of us are just old. We're stuck in our ways. But the kids are not. They're like sponges. We need to watch out for these devices, because guess what? The devil is out to not just deceive you, but deceive your kids too. So let's wake up a little bit and realize that he does have devices. So that's the number one thing. Number two is you. You. Well, let me get more specific. Your heart. Your heart. And what is the title of the sermon? Let me go back to page one. Being deceived. Three things that are trying to deceive you, and the devil is trying to deceive you. And if you believe that, give me an amen. Amen. Second thing is your heart. What do I mean by that? Let me just read some verses. You guys are right there in Mark 7. Stay in Mark 7. Jeremiah 17:9 says this, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I'll just stop right there. That's the human heart. Your heart, the one that you have inside of you. The Bible says this in Proverbs 28:26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. It's a fool. That's why you need to know if you're being fooled. If you're being a fool, you need to be in God's word so you can know what right and wrong really is, because there's really no way to know besides God's word, is there? Absolutely not. This is what the Bible says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. So there are some thoughts out there that are not our thoughts. Those are coming straight from your heart. And guess what? This is what it says about the heart. You're right there in Mark 7. It says, from within, out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So we need to be careful being people that are emotional. They just follow our hearts. What do I mean our hearts? Our thoughts. That's what I'm talking about. When I say your heart, I'm talking about your thoughts. We need to be careful to follow our thoughts. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, this is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil. And the only way you can counter that is through the power of Christ. The only way you can counter that is through the grace of the Lord. We can have victory over our heart. Our heart is trying to deceive us. And if you're not careful, you may follow your own thoughts and think you're leading your family into wherever God wants you to go. It says in Jeremiah 17:5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Why? You already saw the list of everything that's in man. It's a bunch of horrible stuff that comes out of our hearts. So we need to be careful not to be deceived. Here's a perfect example of somebody that was following his heart and he got himself killed for following his little heart. And this is something that would happen to a lot of young people, because there's a lot of pressure out there. And if you're not careful, you can be like Eve. Is this sin really that bad? Yay, does God really care about this sin that much? And the sin that I'm talking about is the sin of fornication. Fornication. If you can, go ahead and go to 2 Samuel 13. Go ahead and go to 2 Samuel 13. If you can get there fast enough, if not, no worries. Just go to 2 Samuel 13. I'm going to start with verse number 1. But if you can't get there fast enough, you can go ahead and meet me in verse number 14. And so this is the story of Amnon. Amnon, just to let you know, commits fornication with a woman. You know, his sister Tamar. And I'm just going to read what it says. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister. So Absalom is one of David's sons. If you don't know the story, hey, keep reading the Bible. You'll come across him in 2 Samuel. So he had a sister. She was a beautiful woman. It says she was fair. Just another way of saying she was beautiful. Her name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. This is what it says, that he loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he felt sick for his sister. So he loves her so much, just the thought of her just makes him sick. He just looks at her and says, oh man, I want to be with her so much. It hurts me. This is the one. I know it. I know it. How do I know? Because in my heart, I just feel it. Look how I feel. I feel like she's the one. I mean, it makes me so sick. That's love, right? Well, it says this, that he felt sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. So he wasn't that bad of a dude. But Amnon had a friend. And of course, friends can be dangerous. In this case, this guy is. He says, Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah. And it says that it was David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. He was just a sneaky guy. And he said unto him, why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Like, what was wrong with you? You know, why are you getting so skinny? Why are you so lean? What's up? What's the deal? Tell me, man. Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, man, let me tell you. I'm in love. There's this girl, bro. With these guys committing suicide, doing stupid stuff, there's always a girl. Vice versa. With these girls going crazy, committing suicide, it seems that there's always a boy. Most of the time. Why? Because they're following their hearts. So once again, we got this guy named Amnon. He's in love with this girl named Tamar. There's a friend that's asking him, why are you so sick? Why are you getting lean? What's the issue, man? And he's like, hey, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. Skip to verse number 14. So just so you know, this guy comes up with a great idea. Hey, here's how you can get her alone with you. Pretend you're sick. Have her cook you something. Have her bring it over. And boom, you guys are alone in your room. Right? Great idea, right? Oh, great idea. But it says right there, how but he would not hearken unto her voice. So what's going on now? Now at this stage, she comes over, gives him something to eat, trying to help him out, trying to make him feel better. He's pretending he's sick. He ends up grabbing her, and then he's trying to commit fornication with her, which is a sure sign that he doesn't love her at all, because they all know adultery is wrong. The dad knows. The whole nation knows. They know what fornication is. At this time, they have enough Bible to realize fornication is a serious sin. God killed person after person after person for committing fornication. So it's not like this guy didn't know any better. But I bet his little heart made him think, yeah, it's not that bad. That's why he's doing it. He's about to commit fornication, but he's actually forcing her, which is worse. What he's doing is he's raping her. He's trying to commit fornication with her against her will. She's fighting him off. He's stronger than her. But this whole time, hey, he loves her, right? Nope, he doesn't. Here's how you know, ladies, if your boyfriend really loves you. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep what? His commandments. So, gentlemen, when your girlfriend wants you to go somewhere that's going to cause you to break God's commandments, break off that relationship. Because she don't love you. Hate to give the heads up. If she did, she will hold off. Perfect example is Jacob. Jacob, he loved this girl, and he's like, hey, I'll serve you this many years, 7 years for your daughter, talking to Laban. And this is in Genesis, this character Jacob. He's like, hey, I'll serve you this many years for her. And it says that it was like a few days for the love that he had for her. It was nothing to him. 7 years, I'll wait 70 years if I have to. That's the person that really loves, you know, whoever is the person that can say, hey, you know what? Wedding day, that's it. Anything before that, no. You want to touch me? No, you don't love me. How about a kiss? We're going to get married anyways. No. How about you wait? If that's you, then that person probably doesn't love you. Just giving you the heads up. You have a problem with what I'm saying? You have a problem with what the Bible says? Hey, does it not say, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments? Isn't that what it says? So guess what? I'm not stealing from you because I love you. Guess what? I'm not going to go slash your tires because I love you and I don't want to do something that's going to make you mad. Bad examples, but still, you get the point. And so what happens? Let's just talk about it. It says, howbeit he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and labored her, Then Amnon hated her exceedingly. So here's a guy who just feels like she loves her so much. He loves her so much that he gets sick. He can't even eat because he loves her so much. And he just can't stop thinking about her, just can't handle it. And he's just thinking to himself, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. And here comes a friend, and he has an idea of what he should do. And because he really truly didn't love her, it was all lust, because how could you just do this? And now exceedingly, it says he hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, arise, be gone. It's like, hey, you know what? I changed my mind. I don't really love you. You know, you can go. After he raped her, took her virginity, she's just totally upset. And it was so bad that he just says this. Then he called his servants that ministered unto him and said, put not this woman out from me, and bolt the door after her. The woman that he was so sick of love, loved her so much, he just couldn't handle the thought of whatever that made him so crazy. Then he ends up committing this sin, which of course he wasn't following God. He was following his own little heart. That's what ended up happening. It wasn't like the devil made him do it or the devil provoked him to do it. He was in his heart just lusting after her, lusting after something that didn't belong to her or him. And what ended up happening? He just messed up his own life because he rapes her. What happens later? He gets killed by the big brother. The big brother takes him out, kills him because of what he did. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's why you need to clean up your life as soon as you can. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Just a little lust. Well, what happened with David? What happened with the father? Just a little bit of lust. I know I shouldn't be looking at this woman talking about Bathsheba. I know I should be in the battlefield right now, but I can't sleep. I'm just trying to exercise so I can get back to sleep. Sees the woman. Instead of looking away, doing the right thing, fleeing, whatever, he keeps looking, invites her over. Next thing you know, he's committing adultery, but it was just a little sin. But hey, when it was finished, it brought forth death, did it not? So just when you're thinking to yourself, it's just a small sin, what's the big deal, bro? God doesn't really care. Is he really mad at me because I'm doing X, Y, and Z? Well, if you're asking, the answer is probably yes, he's really mad with you. Because if you knew the Bible, you wouldn't be asking. You'd be confessing. Sorry, Lord, please forgive me. I'm forsaking it right now. Versus, I don't know. Is it really that bad? Is it really that evil? I don't know. Well, you better know, and you better hurry up before you ruin your life. Amen? All right, I'm 37 minutes in. Let me just wrap it up. But before that, I just want to basically talk about really quickly that, yeah, you know what, Amnon, you can say he was a bad dude, but I'm still on point number two when it comes to your heart being deceitful, trying to deceive you. It's just what it is. We have a sinful nature. You know, we have thoughts that are not God's thoughts. Look what it said about what comes out of our hearts. Evil surmising, evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication. We just got to be careful. But just when you're thinking, maybe it's because he was so evil, but I don't think I'm as evil as Amnon. Could I really be deceived this bad? Well, I don't really know what reality really is. Well, let me remind you that the answer is yes, because it can even happen to the greatest of men. For example, Job. Job was somebody who was deceived by his heart. He was saying things that were absolutely not true. But we all know, because we read the book, that he was the greatest. He was the best of the best. And just to give an idea of what I'm talking about, is that when bad things started happening to him, he started to kind of trust his heart a little bit. He started to listen to his heart a little bit more, because guess what? The stuff that he was saying was not stuff that God says. It wasn't stuff that was biblical. For example, this is what he was thinking from the get-go when bad things started happening to him in Job chapter number 3. He says, why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? So, of course, in case you don't know the story of Job, he lost his kids, his business, his health. And he gets to the point where it's like, why didn't I just die if this was going to happen to me? Why didn't I just die? So what do you think he's thinking? I should have just died a long time ago if I knew that this is how I was going to end up. But is he really, like, thinking biblically? Or is he just going off his emotions? Obviously off his emotions, because I'm glad that he was born, and I'm glad he went through this, and he's one of the reasons why I read a chapter of the book of Job every single day to remind me that things can get bad. And when they do, I'm not going to be in shock. Like, why are these things happening to me? So he's giving us an advantage. He's giving us an edge against Satan. And it wasn't just that. It gets worse. Look at what he's thinking. He literally thinks that God was just messing with him for no reason. Like God really does that. God says that the curse causeless shall not come. If you ever do get cursed by God, it's not because you're not doing anything at all. If he's truly bringing the curse, it says the curse causeless shall not come. There's no such thing as people being cursed for no reason. If God's cursing you, it's because you're being bad. It's not because he's just up in heaven, you know, messing with you, having a good time, seeing you suffer. That's not how God does business. He never has and he never will. But that's what Job was thinking. Look at his words. Job 7. How long will thou not depart from me, nor let me alone, till I swallow down my spittle? He's saying, hey, Lord, how long before you leave me alone? Stop messing with me. But was God messing with him? No, he wasn't. So where's he getting these thoughts from? He's getting it from his deceitful heart. That's where they're coming from. So right now, he's not battling the devil. He's not even battling God. Who is he battling? His deceitful heart. And if you're not careful, you can end up fighting your heart. And it's not easy when you're thinking stupid stuff, when it's really not bad. It's not as bad as you think. If you're just grounded in God's word, you can kind of figure out, okay, well, I'm sure it's not chastisement because I can't think of anything. I can't think of anything right now. Like, what am I doing wrong? Lord, reveal it to me. What's my secret fault? Why are these bad things happening to me? Hey, the Bible says the Lord tried the hearts, so I'm just going to take it to the bank. You're just testing me out, Lord. You're just testing me out. You're just trying me right now. You know, if there's something I'm doing wrong that's not pleasing you, reveal it, and I'll confess it and forsake it so we can move on. If this is truly chastisement. If not, I'm going to just sum it up as another trial, Lord. Just another trial. That's how we should be thinking, amen? But Job is like, stop messing with me, Lord. What are you doing? He says, I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee? He's like, I'm just going to confess. Okay, I'm bad. I'm sinning. O thou preserver of men, why hast thou sent me as a mark against thee so that I am a burden to myself? And why dost thou not pardon my transgressions and take away my iniquity? For now shall I sleep in the dust, and thou shalt seek me in the morning, but I shall not be. So he's freaking out. He's like, okay, what is it, Lord? I'm sorry if I've done something wrong. I'm sorry. Hey, I'm confessing. I'm a sinner. Please forgive me for my sins. Now, can you stop doing this to me? He's thinking he's being punished. He thinks God's messing with him, but the whole time he's going through a test. Is he not? That's how it started. Hey, have you noticed my servant Job? He's a perfect man. Well, the only reason he's doing those things is because you're giving him so much. Okay, let's test him. Let's see what's going on. So he wasn't messing with him. He wasn't punishing him. He wasn't cursing him. He was trying him. But Job at this point, he doesn't know that, but he's acting like he's being chastised. But that was never the case. Not only that, he gets to the point where he thinks God has abandoned him. Just listen up. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he does work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. I'm like, I don't even know where God's at in this situation right now. He believes he's abandoned him, but that was not what happened. And not only that, Job, like I said, he thought he was being punished. He says, wherefore hidest thou face and holdest me for thine enemy? But then later on, he comes to his senses and he's really like, you know what? Hey, I think God's just trying me. And when he tries me, I'm going to come forth as gold. So if it can happen to a bad person like Amnon, where he's just following his heart and he makes a decision that gets him killed, or if it happens to great men of God, it can happen to any of us. If we're not careful, we'll start listening to our heart more than the word of God. And that's bad. That's bad, because you'll end up looking stupid. Right, Brother Caleb? He's like, yep, but he doesn't know what I'm talking about. But he does when I start talking. Because I think y'all noticed that my son Ace, where's he at? Back in the camera, he has a sling. I'm not going to really get too much into it, but he harmed himself in jiu-jitsu. You know, it wasn't anything crazy. He was just doing a little roll, nothing crazy. He just kind of popped it out, and he ended up having to go to urgent care. They popped it back in. Now he's all messed up. But as soon as I found out, I just got upset. I'm like, oh, man, are you serious? He dislocated his shoulder. We don't even have insurance. Now it's going to come out of my pocket. I'm like, that's it. No more jiu-jitsu. It's over. I'm done with it. Immediately, no more jiu-jitsu. I'm done. It's over. But in case you're wondering where my wife's at, she's at a jiu-jitsu competition over in Florida. And then I told Brother Kelly, oh, Brother Kelly, I'm so upset, man. Let me tell you what's going on, bro. My son just messed up his shoulder. Man, it's going to take months for him to heal, and I'm sure I'm going to get a fat bill. Man, this is stupid. Well, I'm just going to kick him out of the gym. Remember that conversation, Brother Caleb? And what did Brother Caleb say? Well, maybe you should sleep on that decision. You sure that's what you want to do, just get your kids kicked out of jiu-jitsu, you know? You sure this is kind of like the right decision? I'm like, it is, bro. It's stupid. We don't even have insurance. The thought of foolishness is a sin. And doing jiu-jitsu where you can hurt yourself with no insurance is stupid. It's sin. So if it's stupid, even do it, it's sin. It's wrong. Brother Caleb's like, all right. He's laughing because that's kind of how it went down, right? All right. Then I end up chilling and I cooled down and my wife told me, okay, this is what went on. It wasn't their fault. They weren't even doing anything. They just asked him to move. And instead of walking around a rope, he decided to just jump over it and he landed wrong. It was not even a training session. It was just a goofy little tug of war, little game they were going to play. And it just messed them all up. But my wife's like, but if you don't want them to go back to jiu-jitsu, understand, you know, there's a risk that they can pop another shoulder and it's over and they'll be injured for months and it's going to cost money to get it fixed. If that's what you want, okay. And I'm like, no. Let them keep going. And I felt pretty stupid. And it's like, hey, why are you contradicting yourself like that? Are you unstable? Double-minded man is unstable in his ways. Yeah, sometimes I contradict myself. So what? I confess it and forsake it. And I'm like, all right, go ahead. Continue to have fun. Go to jiu-jitsu. Go to the competition. Go to the world championships. Have fun. And that's where they're at right now, in case you're wondering. But I was following my heart the entire time. I settled the matter before I even heard it. I just heard he got hurt in jiu-jitsu, and I thought it was some kid that tried to rip his arm off because they're not watching them, they're not being careful down there. And it was all, like, far from it. But that's something that is small, silly. Maybe I don't think it was that big of an issue. But I felt like, man, this is what happens when I listen to my heart. I should have just been more cool. I should have just listened to both sides, figure out what happened, figure out if it's really that big of a risk, because they haven't gotten injured at all. Been going there for how many years? Four? Ace? Huh? 5 years and never an injury like this, right? And this wasn't even through training. It was you just trying to do a ninja move over a rope and you landed wrong, right? All right, so we'll keep practicing your ninja moves because they suck. All that to say this, be careful trusting your thoughts. Don't do it. Get as much Bible in your head as you can. So when stupid thoughts start coming up, you're like, hey, that's of the devil. That's of the devil. Not that it's of the devil, but you know where I'm coming from. It's like, that's just wicked. That's a dumb thought. What am I thinking? Whoa, stop. Because a little leaven leavened the whole lump. And sin, when it is finished, bring it forth death. And it probably just started with just a sinful little lustful thought with King David. Next thing you know, he commits adultery. Next thing you know, he's committing murder by trying to hide it and having the husband get murdered in a battle. But the last group, or the last thing you could say, which is kind of like more than just one, but I'll just wrap it up in one. The third thing that's out to deceive you is the sons of Belial. The sons of Belial. What is that? Let me just go over a few verses. 1 Samuel 2:12 says this. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And if you know the story of his sons, they were wicked. They were sleeping with the woman that they can get their hands on because of the positions. They were taking stuff that wasn't theirs. You know, they were taking offerings that didn't belong to them. These were very wicked people. So bottom line, if you hear or if you read about the sons of Belial, I'll just sum it up using the New Testament. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? So Belial, bottom line, is the devil. The devil. So what am I talking about? The sons of Belial. I'm talking about these evil, reprobate people that now only exist. Now they don't have a conscience. They've been given over to a reprobate mind. Read Romans 1 so you can see all the sins that they're filled with. They're filled with debate. You know, they're filled with a bunch of evilness. You know, but these are the people that now exist for one reason only, and that's to deceive. The devil, he's just going around all day long trying to deceive God's people, trying to deceive the world. The Bible says the devil, he deceiveth the nation. So it's not just save people, it's the whole world ultimately to do what? Destroy the world, cause harm, cause damage, cause suffering. The devil is as evil as he gets. Then you have the sons of the devil, the sons of Belial. And of course, the Bible talks about the sons of Belial in Judges 19:22. And it says, certain sons of Belial beset the house round about and beat the door and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring forth the man that came in the house that we may know them. And so this is a bunch of homosexuals trying to rape, you know, people in Judges 19. So we know that the sons of Belial refers to this group of individuals, which are homosexuals. Then we have the false prophets. And it says right here in John 8:44, ye are of your father, the devil. Who is Belial? It's the devil. Not every unsaved person is a child of the devil, but if you're a child of the devil, you're done. You're toast. You're given over. This is when people say, well, you know what, in 1 Corinthians it says, and such were some of you, because they believe, there's certain people that believe that there were certain Christians in the church of Corinth that used to be homos, but they ended up getting saved, and now they're no longer homos. Well, that contradicts Romans 1, where it clearly states that if you go down that path, God will give you over to a reprobate mind, and you'll do those things which are not convenient. And so the reason I don't believe that these people in 1 Corinthians 6:9, I believe, were former homos is because here's the deal. Once you're a child of God, are you not always a child of God? Can you undo that ever? Absolutely not. Never can you undo that. Well, let me ask you this. Do you guys believe that everyone that's not saved is a child of the devil? We don't believe that, because it doesn't say that everyone's a son of Belial until they get saved. It says there's certain sons of Belial, certain sons of the devil. So we know that not every unsaved person is a son of the devil. People may believe that, but that's not the case. But here's the thing. We clearly have evidence that there are sons of Belial. And we know those sons of Belial are really, really wicked people, horrible people, bad people. And people can say, well, I don't believe Belial is the devil. Then tell me what it means in the New Testament when it talks about that, with Christ being friends or being yoked up with Belial. But here's the thing, though. How do you become a son of the devil? When God gives you over. Hey, didn't Jesus say, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do? He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Where he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Who's he talking to? The Pharisees, the false prophets, saying, ye are of your father the devil. You are the children of the devil, and you guys are going to burn in hell. Why? Because they rejected Christ. They rejected him so much, God was done with him. He's like, I'm done. I'm just giving you over. And so just like when you're born again to become a child of God, and that can never undo it, once God gives you over and you're a reprobate, hey, he gives you over to your father, the devil. You become a son of Belial. And so once you're a child of God, can it ever be undone? Well, guess what? Once you're the child of the devil, it can never be undone. It can never be undone. And in Judges 19, it clearly says that there were certain sons of Belial. And who are these people? They're reprobates, they're homos, they're men that are trying to rape other men. At this point, it clearly says they're sons of Belial. When you look at that term, it comes up more than once. It says that Eli, his sons, were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord, but they had their opportunity to know the Lord. So once you're a child of the devil, you cannot undo that. So for you to say that these people in 1 Corinthians 6:9, they were once homos, then they got saved, now they're no longer homos, then what you're ultimately saying is that if you become a child of the devil, that can be undone. But it cannot be undone. Once you're a child of the devil, it's over for you. You're a son of Belial, you're a reprobate, you know not the Lord, it's over. Just like when you're born again, hey, that cannot be undone. Once you're born into the devil family, that cannot be undone. So in order for you to say that, hey, these people were once homos in 1 Corinthians 6:9, now they're no longer homos, it says, and such were some of you, then what you're ultimately saying is that these people were homos, which means they were sons of Belial, but something happened that they were born again, now they're no longer sons of Belial? No, once you're a child of Belial, you're always a child of Belial. And homosexuals are clearly sons of Belial. False prophets are clearly sons of Belial. False brethren are clearly sons of Belial. These aren't just unsaved people. These are deceivers. And it says in 2 Corinthians 11, if you have your Bible, we'll finish it up in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. That's where we're going to wrap it up. I just want to talk about these false prophets. Here's the father of the devil. These are the false prophets. These were the Pharisees. Certain sons of Belial. These were the homos and judges. Then you got the false brethren in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. So there's no such thing as a false brother. It's somebody that creeps in, pretend they're actually saved when they're not. They're not. And a perfect example, besides the sons of Eli, you know, is Nabal. You know, Nabal was Abigail. If you don't know the story, just say no. Nabal was called a son of Belial. And what happened to him? He got killed. He ended up getting killed for being such a wicked individual. And he's another reprobate in the Bible, another son of Belial, another son of the devil, that it didn't end well with him. But when it comes to the sons of Belial, it almost feels like, yeah, you know what? I know the Bible says it, but will we ever experience it? Well, if you've been here long enough, you know that we've had our sons of Belial. Talking about Tyler Baker, our former deacon. who goes from believing the Trinity, believing the true gospel, that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world, to switching and denying the Trinity, saying that it was created by the Catholic Church, saying that it's false doctrine, so he switches his gospel. We didn't switch our gospel. We still believe that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, but he switched to believing that the Father sent himself to be the Savior of the world. That's a different gospel. That's not just heresy. That's damnable heresy. Because if you don't believe that Jesus is he who, the one that God sent, you got a major problem with John 3:16, John 3:15, John 3:36. And what part of sent don't these oneness people understand? You cannot sent yourself. How many times did Jesus say, the Father has sent me down from heaven? He wasn't a created being. He was eternal from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. 1 John 5:20, what does it say? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the true God. Why? Because it's true that there's a Trinity. But how do you go from believing that the Father sent the Son to believing that the Father sent himself? It's because you were son of Belial. You were false brethren. You crept in unawares trying to drag people with you. He wasn't the only false brethren that we had. We also had Garrett Kirschway, our former missionary. Same thing. He switches on the Trinity. He goes from preaching and defending the Trinity to then saying, no, the Trinity is false, is wrong. I actually believe that the Father and Jesus, they're the same person. I can't really explain it too well. Then you probably have bad doctrine. Because the Trinity is the easiest thing to prove. 1 John 5:20, that's all I got to say. There's one of many. But guess what? There's going to be more because they shall be among you. And I wanted to preach a sermon called One of You is the Devil, but I changed the title because I didn't really like it. But it's true. One of you is the devil. Because we are a good church. And the devil's going to plant tares in all the good churches and probably more than one to try to take us down, to try to deceive us and take us down the wrong road. So pray for your pastor because guess what? The threats are real. He has to deal with the devil. I think he's had the devil person himself try to take him out through deception, through whatever. But then pastor has the same heart that we have. They can also get him to think wrong. So we need to pray that God gives pastor the wisdom to keep him on the right path. And of course, there's always going to be these false brethren that are going to try to deceive him and discourage him and gaslight him into thinking that he doesn't belong behind his pulpit. But if you believe he does, say amen. Amen. I mean, if he doesn't, who does? Seriously. If he doesn't belong behind his pulpit, then guess what? No one does because good night. You got to be kidding me. Way overqualified in my book. Good night. I just hope that he doesn't fall for these three deceptions, false brethren, his heart, or the devil, because he's that good. If he can get a great man of God like David to fall, the threat is real, folks. The threat is real. So if you haven't, let's start praying for him if you haven't already. But how do you defeat this threat of the devil, your heart, and these false brethren? Well, let me just read 2 Timothy 3 says this. This know also in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Tyler Baker, Gary Kirschway, every single service they're suited up. Every single service they look like Independent Fundamental King James, soul winning Baptist. Every time they go soul winning, hey, they use Romans Road. I went soul winning with Kirschway. I went soul winning with Garrett. Hey, they preached the Romans Road perfectly. I don't think they ever skipped a beat. They memorized it. They did what they did. They got people to pray. But were they saved? Absolutely not. They had a form of godliness, but they had no power. And I'm sorry, but I think it's easy with people that are out there that don't really have like a spine to tell you to go away. I think it's easy to get those people to pray, which I think is the majority of the people that we talk to. They're nice people. If you do a poor job, they'll probably just pray. If you take too long, they'll probably just pray to get you out of there. But at the same time, we need to realize that, hey, this is a fact. This happens. You have people that look like they're God's people, and you're shocked when it happens, and that's fine. It's okay. The devil's that good. He's not going to just bring a bunch of nobodies to faith for word. He's going to get his best people to come in here and try to deceive us. So we need to be on alert. But how do you counter this? Well, keep saying right there. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Sounds like Baker, reading the Bible, spends years, hours, writing sermons, and still can't figure out the Trinity. I mean, if you haven't figured out that he ain't saved by now, I don't know what to show you. The guy is just unsaved as unsaved can get. But he was in his church for years. He ran the soul winning. He was about to get sent out to start an independent fundamental King James NIV church. And yet God stopped them at the last second. If that doesn't show you that God's behind our pastor, I don't know what to show you. That's more evidence that God is with him. But just like Tyler Baker and Gary Kurzweil, it says right there in verse number 8 in 2 Timothy 3:8, now Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. And that was Baker, that was Kurzweil. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men. And that's what we see when these people get exposed, when these pastors get exposed. Their folly is going to be exposed to all men. Give it time. Give it time. And it says clearly, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. And boy, have we not known our pastor's doctrine. Manner of life. And if you've been here long enough, you have seen his manner of life. His purpose. If you've been here long enough, you've seen pastor's purpose. His faith. If you've been here long enough, you've seen his faith. If you've been here long enough, you've seen his long-suffering. He is very long-suffering. I recommend it many times. Would you kick this person out, that person out, and say, no, let's just give him more time. All right. Then after like the 10th time, all right, it's time to kick him out. All right, good. Let me just kick him out. Because he's long-suffering. Long-suffering. You've seen his charity. You've seen his patience. You've seen his persecution. And I'm just reading the list of the Apostle Paul, where he's like, hey, you've seen these things from me. You see my doctrine. You see my manner of life. You see my purpose. You see my faith. You see my long-suffering. You see my charity. You see my patience. You see my persecutions. You see my afflictions. What came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra, what persecutions I endure. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. And out of all the persecutions, out of all the afflictions that I've seen our pastor have, I can say beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Lord has delivered him from all of them. And he's going to continue to do so as well. But of course, he can't do it alone. He needs his Aaron. He can't do it alone. He needs his Peter. He needs his John. You know, we need to do everything we possibly can. Because he's fighting these three things just like we're going to fight these three things. He's going to fight the devil for the rest of his days. He's going to fight his heart for the rest of his days. He's going to fight false brethren for the rest of his days. And so are you. So we need to remember these things so we can do what the Bible tells us. It says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's not going to end. It's just going to get worse. But how do you combat these three things? This is how, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Just continue to keep doing what you're doing here. Keep reading the Bible. Keep coming soul winning. Keep coming to listen to some fired up preaching. Hey, it is what it is. That's what you need to continue to do. Continue those things which thou hast learned. Why? Because all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, as the men of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's the answer. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing. Don't backslide. Don't skip another service. Don't go from three services to two services down to one. We've seen that happen so many times. And what happens to these people? They fall for it. They get deceived. We have a battle and they run. And they run. Why? Because they got deceived. Whether it was the devil, their own little heart, because they stopped reading the Bible, they forgot the things that they were taught. Who knows? False brethren, you know, convinced them, tricked them, deceived them to leaving. But John 8 says this, then said Jesus to those which believed on him, if you continue my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When it says continue my word, it's not just continue to read it, continue to obey it. That's how we're going to be able to fight these three things. By continuing in those things that we have learned, continuing in the word, continue to obey the word. And like I said, honorable mentions. Here's the other ones that are also, you know, things that can try to deceive you. Just really quickly, the devils. As you know, the Bible says in Matthew 25:41, it says that it's everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. They're out there. They do the same thing the devil does. Possess people, get people to doubt, then start spreading lies, and people will get deceived and they'll fall away. So nothing much to say about them. They act just like their father, the devil. But now the other one also is weak Christians. Weak Christians can also deceive you. Weak Christians, they quickly start to lie. Perfect example is Eve. You know, perfect example is Sarah, I believe. Hey, did you laugh? I didn't laugh. I didn't laugh because she got scared. She was weak. She should have said, I did laugh. I'm sorry, Lord. Please forgive me. But she didn't say that, did she? She tried to deceive God himself. I didn't laugh. Really? Trying to deceive God? Sorry, but it ain't going to work. Do you understand where I'm going with this? Just think about the Christians in the Bible that were weak and got deceived, and then they started to deceive. I.e. King Saul. He got deceived, got weak. Then what did he start to do? Started just rail on David and just went the wrong way. True? So obviously, I didn't talk a lot about weak Christians. I just want to keep it as three because I have an easier time remembering three. And those are three big ones that we need to be reminded of. And we need to do our best to fight against them. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for all that you've done, Lord. We cannot thank you enough for a great church. Obviously, dear Father, help us to use this church to reach many people and help us to just spread your word and be able to, you know, get more people into heaven and get them serving you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.